Would you turn with me this morning to the book of Joel, the second chapter? A few scriptures the Lord has put on my heart. And one verse has been just exciting me all week. In this book of Joel, not much is known about the prophet. He's referred to as one of the minor prophets, as opposed to the major prophets, Jeremiah and Daniel and Isaiah and so forth, but not because of his contribution, because of the length of his work. And he has been called to bring the people together, to exhort them, to humbly return to the Lord. The nation outwardly looked religious, but inwardly were away from God, were lukewarm and indifferent. And God used him to bring them back to repentance and then prophetically to utter those words of what God was going to do in the new covenant. And I want to begin reading at verse 21. Of the second chapter through the end of the chapter, if you'll read with me, that the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts this morning. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Pay attention to this 23rd verse. This is where the emphasis is. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it will come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And I want to stop the reading right here. These words, some of them we are, I know, very familiar with. Peter referred to them on the day of Pentecost when he got up and preached the first sermon in the new church, the church that was just established after the falling, the baptism of the Holy Ghost fell that day. And we say, Lord, my prayer is, Lord, rain on us. Let your Holy Spirit rain on us. We need the Spirit of God to just fall like rain. You know, when it rains, the vegetation is nourished. The animals are nourished. The grass gets greener. You know, we water our lawns. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you water your lawn and it does okay, but there's nothing like when it rains. The rain from the sky, from heaven, you know, there's a difference in the effect it has. And we need, praise God, that spiritual rain from heaven. that the Lord would have his way, praise God. You know, there comes a time, I think, in every person's life where you go experience a drought, a time of a dryness, maybe a drought of health where it seems like there's, you know, physical problems to deal with. And maybe it's a drought of finance where the bills are coming faster than the supply of money. And sometimes a drought in your occupation. Lost the enjoyment of doing what you were doing for a living. Maybe a drought in your marriage. A drought in your marriage. But I think of all the droughts, the worst one is a spiritual drought. And Israel now has come to this point. We're in that condition. But God prophesied. God prophesied of what was to come. Praise God. What was to take place? And here in this 23rd verse, I want to go to that. He said, he will give you the former rain moderately. And he will come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. What is the significance of that? Their planting season is just opposite of ours. In October is when they plant. And the former rain came at the time when the seeds were planted. And that whole time there, it came and caused the seeds to settle in and to be nourished and start to grow. And at the end, the latter rain, they prayed for the latter rain. The latter rain was to cause the fruit to form and right before the harvest. And that's really the theme of this message, the latter rain and the harvest. And God talks about seasons. And to me, the spiritual connotation of this is not just about the planting, the physical planting of seed and the harvest, but talking about souls. The former rain came on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. That's when the initial downpour of the Holy Ghost came. And there's all this time coming to an end in the days in which we are living. Coming to an end, there is going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The latter rain, he says, I'm going to give you the latter rain. That the fruit, souls will come to the knowledge. Souls will come into the kingdom, praise God. And I say, Lord, would you send your rain upon us? Let your Holy Ghost rain come down upon us. We need a great movement of his spirit, my brother and sister. We thank God for the former rain. We thank God for the day we were baptized. We thank God for that. But oh, we need to see a great move of his spirit today, praise God. We need the latter rain to come, praise God. And that's what God promised. Oh, praise the Lord. I know in Timothy, Paul writes that in the last days, it's going to be difficult times and there's going to be a great falling away. That's true. We see that today. But the word of God also tells us he's going to give us the latter rain, praise God, a rain that is going to bring souls into the kingdom. And I say, Lord, would you help us this morning? Send the former rain, send the latter rain, praise God. I'm looking and praying and hoping, expecting a great revival, a great move of the Spirit, not just in our church, not just in our community, but in this country, in this nation, in this world. God has places all over this world where people are hungry and thirsty and looking for something. And we see the lost condition. The sister testified what she experienced just with those that group of women and the understanding or the lack of understanding. And people today, as there's a great falling away, there's a great not believing the word of God, not understanding what God is trying to do, doing what they think is right. But I say, oh Lord, thank you for the revelation. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of darkness. And now, Lord, we have a responsibility, Lord, to carry on the gospel, the good news, and to proclaim the truth, praise God, and say, Lord, would you visit us in these last days? It's not about being good enough. You know, people talk about, well, they're good people. Well, that, it's not about being good enough, praise God. It's about being sealed with the Spirit. It's about being, praise God, touched by the power of God. In the second chapter of Acts, I love what it says there. Praise God. The promise is unto you and your children and to as many as far off as the Lord God shall call. In Paul's letter to Ephesians, he says, in whom also ye trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Praise God. What the church needs is the seal of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. What we need and you need and I need is that seal of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It is a down payment of our future salvation. Praise God. It says we belong to God and he's going to claim us. Praise God in that day. It's not about being good enough. It's about the operation of the Holy Ghost. It's about turning loose our hearts and saying, oh, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I may not understand it all, but Lord, I know it's true. I sense it in my spirit. There's something real here. It's not just a theology. It's not just cleverly formed words. But it's something real, praise God, because I sense a movement. I sense a spiritual movement in my soul, praise God. And the Holy Ghost begins to move, praise the Lord, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Lord, thank you. What this world needs today is a touch from heaven. What this world needs today is to come in contact with a holy God. Praise God. Oh, I can imagine on the day of Pentecost, they were praying, did not know what they were praying for. But he says, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Not knowing what to expect, not knowing how God was going to move, only knowing their old doctrine, the old covenant. And God marvelously sent down his Spirit on that day of Pentecost. Praise God. Like cloven tongues of fire set on each of them, and they began to manifest in other tongues, praise God. And there's much confusion today about the tongues, and there's much debate, and there's much criticism, but oh, praise God, it's real, my brother and sister. You have experienced it, I have experienced it. We know it's real, praise God, and it's necessary for today. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as we go on this Christian journey. Well, what do you want to see? What do you want to see this morning? What is it that you want to see? We have loved ones who are not following Christ. Loved ones who are wonderful people. It's not criticism of anyone. That's not the issue. But who don't know Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, praise God. Don't know him as a personal Savior. They know about him, but not as a personal Savior. Not to come in contact with him. Not to know him, Lord, in spirit and in truth, praise God. And oh, that's what we want to see, oh Lord. Lord, in these days, oh Lord, would you send the latter rain, praise God, that souls become hungry for God, hungry for the things of God, hungry for the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. It's not, I'm going to join a church. I'm going to go to church periodically or every week or whatever the case may be. That's not it. It's a life change. Praise God. It's a heart change. It's something that transforms you. Praise God. It's something that comes from heaven. Praise the Lord. It's something that is dynamic and powerful, and it changes you and makes you new. Praise God. What you were once, you're no longer the same because you've been touched by the power of God. I love in Isaiah where he has this vision of the Lamb of God upon the throne. And in that vision, he says, oh, he sees the cherubims that are singing, holy, holy, holy. And he says, oh, he said, depart from me, I am a sinful man. Oh, praise God. And the angel took the coal off the fire and placed it on his tongue and cleansed him. Praise God. He was changed by the power of God. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to have that hunger and thirst. We that are baptized, we that have experienced the Holy Ghost power, we need a movement of God's power in us. We need God to revive us and stir us up. Praise God that those around us are saying, oh, I want what that brother has. I want what that sister has. I feel something when they pray. I feel something when they testify. I know it's real. Praise God. It touches my soul. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to believe for that rain that's coming. You know, sometimes we get into a kind of a mechanical worship, a mechanical serving the Lord. And God says, that's not what I want. You're doing the right things. You're going to church. Maybe you're reading the Bible, but I don't see the fire. I don't sense a closeness. I sense mechanical. I don't sense spiritual, praise God. And I say, Lord, would you help us, oh God, to not give up on these prayers? We've been praying a long time for revival, praying a long time for the Lord to send the baptism. And I say, Lord, would you help us to continue and not to be discouraged this morning, praise God, because the promises are real. God said it, and it's true, praise God. I'm going to send you the latter rain, hallelujah. The latter rain before the harvest. Oh, praise God, the harvest is soon. And we say, Lord, would you come? Come with your presence, come with your power. Come with your anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. We read a few weeks ago in Haggai, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. Everything God does is progressive. He's always moving forward. He's always building. He's always outdoing himself. Jesus started with simple ministry, and before long it was quickly progressed to opening the blind eyes and making the lame to walk and casting out devils and feeding the multitudes. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord. What was in him? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, he was the Son of God, yet he was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And he says the promises are to us. In Matthew 19, it says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Sometimes we analyze too much. Sometimes we just accept less than optimum outcomes. Sometimes we accept that we're not going to have the victory. And I say, Lord, would you just take that away from us, oh God, that we're going to trust you for victory. We're going to trust you, Lord, to move in our families. We're going to trust you, Lord, to touch our children and our grandchildren and our fathers and our mothers and our uncles and our cousins and whoever, praise God, that we might see a great move of his Spirit, praise God. When he told that father of the demoniac son, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. What things? All things are possible. Oh, Brother Ron, I don't know. You don't know my relative. You don't know the situation. I don't know him, but God knows him. That's all that counts. Praise God. Is God not able to change the heart of stone into a fleshly heart? Is not God able to reach the hardest heart and the darkest heart? Praise God. Yes, he is this morning. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't give up. Don't settle for less. Don't expect less, but say, oh God, you said you would, and I'm going to take you at your word. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. You remember at the wedding, at Cana, there was no wine. They ran out of wine. And Jesus steps in, embarrassing the reputation of the groom. The people wanted wine. An embarrassing situation. But Jesus stepped in, and his mother told them, whatever he says, do it. And we know the story. Fill the bottles with water. And miraculously, they turned into wine. Praise God. The case of Jairus' daughter, she was sick. Little girl was at the point of death, just 12 years old. And Jesus, they called him to come, and while on his way, he was delayed. And they sent another messenger, don't trouble him anymore. The daughter is dead. Now the stage is set. The situation, disastrous. The baby girl was dead. If he had come sooner, if he hadn't been delayed, last hope was Jesus, but he didn't come in time. The man may have said, you know, he turned water into wine, he healed the nobleman's son, he delivered the demoniac, but my daughter is sick and she's not possessed with an evil spirit. The house is filled with mourning and weeping and wailing, and death is hanging in the air. 12 years old, was dead. Oh, praise God. That's how sometimes we see a situation hopeless, with grief and sorrow and darkness. And oh, praise God. Jesus came on the scene and said, I say unto thee, arise, hallelujah. And that little girl came to life. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Oh, glory to his name. Praise God. That's the God we're dealing with this morning. Praise God. Not a God way out there, not some statue, not some deity that we talk about or read about. No, a God that is very personal, a God that knows you by your name, a God that is acquainted with all your ways, a God that saw you formed in your mother's womb, a God who has your whole life before him planned out. He knows what is before you, my brother and sister. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We've seen miracles now. We've read about the miracles in the Word of God. Surely we've seen God at his best. Surely we've seen the great manifestation of his power. No, he's bigger than that. The best is yet to come, praise God. I want to tell you this morning, the best is yet to come, praise God. God is going to do great. I was excited when I read this word, and it kept stirring in my soul. I'm going to send you the latter rain, praise God. Right before the harvest, I'm going to send you the latter rain, hallelujah. Oh, that's going to bring the fruit of the kingdom in, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, oh Lord. We know the situation with Lazarus. His friend was sick and he was called. And in the meantime, as he's on his way, Lazarus dies and he was dead 4 days. And the stone was rolled in front of the sepulchre, and the stone speaks of finality. It's over, it's done. It's finished. Condition is incurable. And Mary, or one of the sisters, said, well, if you'd come earlier, perhaps you could have changed the situation. Oh, hallelujah. It is amazing how we limit God. It is amazing how we bring him down to our level. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Ron, I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to get my hopes up. It's not about getting your hopes up. It's about claiming faith in Jesus Christ and believing the promises, praise God. God's not going to let you fail. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Praise God. And he said, roll the stone away. I imagine they looked at him and said, you know, maybe they didn't say anything, but in their minds were saying, this is useless. This is ridiculous. Roll the stone away. And he called Lazarus to come forth. Hallelujah. And out comes Lazarus all wrapped in the clothing that they bind them with upon death. And God restored him. Oh, praise the Lord. You're too late. Jesus is never too late. Praise God. He's always on time. He's got a plan. Praise God. And he'll execute it perfectly. We're seeing today a society that is out of control. America is no longer a Christian nation. Every day we're hearing how God is being rejected and removed from our schools, our holidays. We can't name the name of Jesus. We can talk about Satan, but don't you mention that name of Jesus. We're seeing a great spirit of perversion and worldliness and corruption, not sneaking into our churches only, not hiding in our pews, but filling pulpits too also. Preachers preaching half-truths and non-truths, and people just following them, itching ears, want to hear these things. In the day of Jeremiah, he wrote, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do now? What will you do in the end thereof? They preach, prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and the people love to have it so. Don't tell me the hard word. Don't tell me the truth of God. I want something that soothes me. I want something that makes me feel okay in what I'm doing. I want something that makes it all right. If I don't want to come to church, if I want to worship a certain way, I want you to tell me it's okay. Oh, Lord, help us never to compromise the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Another scripture clearly defines in Isaiah the spirit of this generation. It's as woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We can see it all around us. We can see it in this generation in which we live. It has come to fruition in these last few years like never before. But praise God, we have a God who is on the throne. And he has given us a call, praise God. He has spoken to our hearts, and he has witnessed his truth to our hearts, praise God. The devil thinks he's winning. The enemy thinks he's winning. Oh, hallelujah, but God is in control. Everything is happening according to God's plan. You know, when they tried to stop God's promise in the Old Testament, and they had all the Israelite, the Hebrew children, all the men, little boys killed. Millions were killed. God protected Moses, and he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Can you imagine that? He was raised in Pharaoh's house, and he led the people out of bondage. Praise God! Oh, when the children of Israel were trapped at the Red Sea, entangled in the wilderness, the Egyptian army was not far behind. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God turned that Red Sea into a highway, my brother and sister. He turned the Red Sea into a highway. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. David, young David, just a boy, one little stone. One little stone, but in the hands of a great big God, brought down a giant. Hallelujah. One little stone. He had faith in that great big God. Praise the Lord, who brought down that giant. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my brother and sister, don't turn off the switch of faith. Let's believe. Well, Brother Ron, we've been praying a long time. We don't see. That's what the enemy's telling you. You don't see it. It's not happening. How long have you been praying? What have you been doing? You've been trusting God. Has it come to fruition? No. Does that mean God's sleeping? Does that mean God doesn't hear it? Oh, he hears it. Praise God. When it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and Elijah was, after that meeting on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, he began to pray. And prayed 7 times. He told his assistant, he says, go out and check. And he went out and checked, and what did he see? Nothing. The sky is clear. It's just bright blue. There's nothing. I don't see a thing. Praise the Lord. And he said, go out again. The 5th time or the 6th time, I think you and I might have stopped. But God had something in this man of God. Praise the Lord. No, you go out again. And the 7th time, he says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I've got a pretty good size hand, but it's small to make a great big rain. But it wasn't the size of the man's hand. No, it was the belief in a great big God. Hallelujah. A God who is able, my brother and sister. A God who can do what no man can do. Praise the Lord. And it began to rain. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We're believing in a great big God this morning. Praise the Lord. Lord, would you send the latter rain? The latter rain upon the people of God, upon this world, oh God, that we might see souls come to the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close in just a moment. Brother, sister, would you come forward? God is up to something big. I believe it this morning. He's saving the best for last. I believe God is up to something big. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I feel it in my soul. He said, I'm going to send you the former rain and the latter rain. The seasons, praise God, are coming to pass. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and it started a revolution in the world. Praise God. 120 men changed, tore Jerusalem, was in an uproar, praise God, of what happened. What meaneth this? They were all upset. What's going on? And they spread the good news of the gospel, praise the Lord. And here we are in this 20th century. Here we are, 12:02, spiritually speaking. And God is going to come for the harvest, praise God, of souls. Oh, Lord, would you send the latter rain, praise God. Send it upon us, oh God, that we may see your glory. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Don't be hopeless. Don't be deceived. The enemy wants to rob you of your faith. It is your prayers and your faith that are held up before the throne of grace. It says God keeps our prayers in golden vials in the heavenlies. Can you imagine that? There's no shelf life on those prayers. They're still effective today. And it's those prayers that are going to carry through. It's those prayers that are going to bring God's mercy on your family and your loved ones. It's God's prayer. It's those prayers that are going to bring God's mercy on the lost in this world, praise God. Not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Oh, there's hope, my brother and sister. There is hope in Christ Jesus. I'm glad we're believing in a God where there's hope, my brother. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not I'm okay, I'm saved because of who I am, because of what I did, because how I live. No, I'm saved because of grace, because of the mercy of God. I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus. I'm saved because of the whole work of the Holy Ghost in my heart. Praise God. It's nothing I have done, nothing that I deserve, nothing that I'm worthy of, praise God. But it's all Christ, praise God, for what he did on the cross. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me read this scripture one more time and I'm going to close. Praise his name. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Praise God. Oh Lord, we're waiting for the latter rain. We're waiting for the latter rain. What is our responsibility here this morning? It's to be in prayer. There is a scripture, brothers, my brothers on the pastoral staff, this 17th verse. It's to let the priests that minister, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Our responsibility before the Lord is to weep, praise God, before him. Lord, spare the people. Lord, work in these days. Let no one be lost, O God. Be in prayer. Be in prayer, praise God. Oh, Lord, come and visit your people in these days. Oh, we need a Holy Ghost revival. We need a Holy Ghost movement, praise God. We have got to lead the charge. Oh, Father, come in these days. We're tired of ourselves. We're tired of the dryness, oh, Lord. Oh, we want the living water to flow, praise God, that it may change hearts and change lives and bring people into the kingdom. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, praise God. I believe God is going to work. I believe we haven't seen anything yet. There's more to come, praise God. I don't want to look back at those days with other than fond memories. Thank God for what he did. Thank God for the revival we were in. Thank God for the previous revivals. Praise the Lord. That's how we got to this point. But oh Lord, now. Oh Lord, now, praise God. Let this place be an upper room. Let this place be like the day of Pentecost. Let your Holy Spirit move freely among us. Let the word of God be preached in its purity. And let souls come to the fountain. Praise God. Praise the Lord. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May he encourage all of us. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?